Well, National Signing Day is come and gone, but...
Whew, thank goodness.
But there's still stories to be told. And there ain't a better guy than Rodney Orr to bring us up to speed on what happened. Of course, Tider Insider, the preeminent place for your Crimson Tide information. Rodney, how are you? Happy Friday.
Hey, Graham, I am doing great. I appreciate you having me on, and I'm doing fine with now that signing day, as you said.
Yeah.
Wow.
You're like me and Tim here. We're just kind of the last 24 hours has just kind of been sitting back and just trying to relax as much as possible. But, of course, there's still stuff to be done. And I know you had your big luncheon, was it yesterday? And
yep.
And I know that was fun for you. And we're still just trying to collect information, and that's what we're doing here as we close out this week. But just kind of give a recap of what National Signing Day was like for you and for Tider Insider.
Oh, my goodness. Let me tell you. First of all, it is a lot of fun. It's a ton of fun in a lot of ways, but it's also very grueling. Not just signing day, but the last few days leading up to it. And I know you've probably got some questions on specific prospects that will kind of be examples of this. But it's, you know, I say it's fun, but let me say this. The reason it is fun is because Nick Saban. You know, when you go 7 straight years and you have the number one class or whatever it is, depending on who you listen to in these ratings, I mean, yeah, it's a great time. Now, there's been years in the past when it was miserable. You know, the whole process was miserable. So, you know, not only the success on the field has been extremely delightful to cover, but the recruiting has just been beyond the imagination.
And that little, and those few words right there, Rodney, was taking you back to the days of Mike Shula and stuff,
gosh,
where you didn't have to worry on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday if anybody else was committing.
Well, I wasn't going to say that, but now that you mention it.
Hey, we got to call it like we see them here, Rodney. I mean, let's just go ahead and do that. Oh, but, well, let me ask you this, in talking about that, do you feel like because either the internet or just the way we are as human beings now, is it getting maybe a little bit more, obviously it's getting more competitive, but maybe even a little bit more mean-spirited? I mean, you know, it's getting kind of crazy in that regard, is it not?
Yep, it's getting, it is. I think this year, you know, I really didn't think that you said mean-spirited, that's probably some of it. You know, more competitive is a really good word. More intense, really intense. Even last year, last few years, as intense as it's been, you know, if 20 some odd guys were committed, you felt pretty good about those guys that were committed going into Monday of the signing day week, you know. But this year, there was 3 or 4 that I didn't. That I was a little bit, there were still some things being bandied about to watch. Jedrick Wills being one of those guys. You know, maybe even Xavier McKinney. There was rumors, speculation about him. And even going back to the early enrollees, you know, there's a story about Alex Leatherwood showing up down there at Florida's bowl game and that he almost enrolled at Florida rather than come to Tuscaloosa. So, I mean, it's the last-minute stuff. You saw all the drama surrounding Najee Harris out in San Antonio. It was really crazy. These are just things that are starting to get more intense and more dramatic every year, I guess. And this year was at an all-time high, in my opinion.
You're happy that some of those guys you mentioned, Najee, and Alex, you're happy that 12 of those guys enrolled early so that took the questions away from them.
Well, you're right, Tim, because if there wouldn't have been, I might not have survived it. I mean, it was just that bad. And I was, as a matter of fact, I commented to some people that I've talked to, and we've talked about the early enrollees, and we've talked about, man, aren't you glad that we don't have to go all the way from, you know, January 1st to February 1st? With this Najee stuff going on, or with Alex Leatherwood, or some of these other guys, thankfully they had the early enrollees. And I say that not just Alabama, but if you cover this for anybody, it makes it a little bit easier to kind of narrow things down, you know, with those guys already in school. You don't have as much drama to deal with.
Yeah, two parts of this question, and you just mentioned what Leatherwood did and certainly what was going on with Harris. Is part of the problem because these prospects are kind of playing this up a little bit? And then the other side of that is the people who are covering this and covering every single move that these guys make are maybe making too much of a big deal out of things that they don't need to.
Yes. On the prospects, I think some of them really enjoy it. They know what's going on. They kind of get a kick out of, you know, the attention or whatever. But I do think there's cases, and we'll talk probably about one later, but I do think that there's cases where some of these guys are truly just going back and forth. They're confused. They have people pulling at them. They have people in their family that want them to do this. They want to do something else. So I do think there's some there that is legitimate, just indecisiveness, if you want to call it that. But I think, too, what really magnifies this is, and I'm not trying to play holier than thou or whatever it might be, I just want to cover the stuff. And, you know, let's talk about what the possibilities are and what's being done. But some of these, frankly, some of these recruiting sites, they thrive on every little move or every little thing that happens, and they try to blow it up. And I think what's happened is that our younger generation has lost sight of what's really news and what's really information versus what's just a bunch of hype to try to get you to read and speculate and all of this other stuff. And, you know, maybe I've been left behind in that regard, but I'm not going to change what I do because I don't enjoy that kind of stuff. And, again, it's not that I'm holier than thou. It's just I just think it's a waste of time. And it's I don't have time for it.
Well, that's a great point, but then there's another aspect of that too. Back, whatever, 15 years ago, there was you know, and the other recruiting websites. Now we've got websites that are dedicated to, you know, covering Alabama, you know, internet-based. I say Alabama, but like Saturday Down South and some of those that are like SEC. So now you've got that competition, and then the newspapers have now jumped into the internet world, like AL.com, where they want to go put something out there because they want you to come read their site before you go read Rodney's site. So, I mean, now we're all feeding off each other now.
Yeah, and I'll say this. Let me be clear. I'm not trying to differentiate myself from some of these other people. I think there's a lot of them out there that do really legitimately do good jobs. I'm not, you know, saying that. I'm saying, I guess I was referring to some of these other sites that do that clickbait, if whatever you want to call it, clickbait journalism.
Right.
I mean, it's crazy. And, you know, I don't know. It's just it's just kind of created a situation where it's not, it's just you have to be able to distinguish fact from clickbait. And it's difficult to do, I guess, for some people.
One of the things, Rodney, that, of course, you and I and Tim and you we've all talked about the last week, really 2 weeks, was the situation with Henry Ruggs. And it got really interesting earlier this week where apparently something had come out that he was waffling or maybe he wasn't going to sign with Alabama. And I know that you had some people on your forums who were starting to question whether or not indeed he was going to sign with Alabama. Where were you on all of this, and what were you hearing the days leading up to Wednesday? What were some of the things that maybe were making you think maybe he's not going to Alabama?
Well, actually, you know, I felt like based on what I had been hearing for quite some time was, you know, Ruggs had pretty much told Alabama, he'd give him the wink and the nod, so to speak, that, you know, everything's fine. And I think it was. I think Florida State made a strong push late. And I don't know if Alabama realized initially just the interest that he had in Florida State once they really made their push. And I got a message, I think it was Monday before signing day earlier this week. And it just said, hey, put you on high alert for Ruggs because there's something really going on here with Florida State. This is very, very serious. And the person that I got it from made me realize that, you know, I trusted him. And I started checking around. And as I checked around, I found out what he was saying was true, that Ruggs at that time, in his mind, had started thinking, I'm going to Florida State. You know, after talking to several sources. So I realized that this thing was going back and forth. And, of course, we're prevented by NCAA rules talking to the coaching staff. I don't deal with them on recruiting at all. And so I have to work other sources to get information. But my understanding was that Alabama had come to the realization that this is really a battle back and forth, and they had to go back and forth with Ruggs. And then on but matter of fact, on Tuesday about noon, I got a message from my source that things had settled down. Ruggs was back kind of in the fold for Alabama. Everything was looking positive. Then by 7 o'clock, 7:30 that night, Tuesday night, it was, well, we're back up in the air again. It's not as settled as we thought, and it's going to go back and forth through the night. So that's pretty much what it's like covering this stuff. So when you put out information like fans want, which is where things stand, and you say Henry Ruggs is, everything's fine, everything, and they think that you just don't know what you're really talking about when you say things are going, you know, when you later come back and have to say, well, this is, you know, the way it is now. But that's what happens in recruiting sometimes. These things do not stay the same. It can be very fluid. And that Ruggs thing was going back and forth. But I felt really good heading into Wednesday morning, though, that they were going to get that thing wrapped up and he would eventually sign with Alabama.
And but I gotta,
it was a very much a back and forth deal.
I got to give you credit, Rodney, because a lot of guys, and I'm going to go back to your recruiting services and whatnot, that are feeding their constituency, they would have said, don't worry about it, he's coming to Alabama. And you brought up the kid from Kentucky, the lineman, who I read something from, I don't know what type of website it was, but it was a Kentucky-based website. And they were kind of giving the impression that, hey, this guy may end up flipping, going to Kentucky and leaving Alabama in the lurk. And I'm like, mm-hmm. Where are you getting this from? Because not that I'm in the middle of any of this, but I'm, you know, I start questioning, just like you're saying. I mean, a lot of this is clickbait. You didn't do that, though. You were trying to be straight up with your readers, and I applaud you for that.
You're talking about on Ruggs?
Yeah, on Ruggs, not on the other guy.
Yeah, I mean, you know, because, listen, I had pretty much told him that I felt comfortable with it, that he was coming to Alabama, that he would end up at Alabama, and then I got this other stuff. Well, you know, I've got to go back and tell them, well, you know, hold on a minute. And I have a few people that got upset. Felt like that maybe they had been misled. I mean, that's the way it goes. We're talking about adults here, believe it or not.
Oh, yeah.
And they feel like they had been misled. That, you know, I, not only me, but a couple other websites had misled them where the Ruggs thing stood. And I'm like, listen, we're talking about very, very high-pressure situation here with terms of the recruiting, kids that are indecisive, families that are trying to make sure the best decision is made. You know, things can change. And I'm just trying to tell you how they've changed, you know, which direction it's going in. I don't have control over any of it. So I'm just trying to share with you where it is. And, well, a lot of times when people don't get the information they want, they're looking for somebody to blame.
Right.
And the easiest person to blame is the messenger sometimes. And so you have to deal with that, too. But it ended okay.
I was going to say, I thought it was funny that if they don't blame the messenger, if they're not blaming you, then they turn it back on, like, the coaching staff or something. Like,
yeah.
I mean, how many times did you see your forum just erupt with, what, Ruggs is no longer in the fold? We don't know. Oh, well, the coaching staff just dropped the ball on this kid.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting here
flat-footed.
Flat-footed. And I'm sitting there thinking, you know, the kid has no allegiance to any college. He's not, He's not an Alabama fan growing up. He's not this. He's not that. And he's honestly just weighing his evaluations and his choices, and it's tough. It's a hard decision to make, and he's not really sure where he wants to go. I mean, why can't we just leave it at that? Why does somebody have to be flat-footed, you know?
Yeah. Well, and I tell you, you know, and again, in this situation, I think, too, what happened was, you know, Florida State, rightfully so, they're trying to get the kid, and they're telling him, and he is. He's legitimately a big-time player. He can be a big-time player in college, and they're telling him, okay, this is what you're going to do here at FSU. We've got DeAndre Francois. Look at what he does. Look at his potential as a passer. Look at what he's accomplished this year as a redshirt freshman. You come in, you play in our offense, you're going to be the man. We're going to get you the ball. This is the way it's going to be. You know, this is the way we do it at FSU. And, you know, I mean, he's attracted to that. I can understand that. Jimbo Fisher, I really like Jimbo Fisher. I think he's a great coach, a good coach, and, you know, he puts a good system on the field offensively, and they run up numbers, and they can show this and show that and all of that. So I could see where he would be attracted to playing, you know, down there. You know, and it is. You're talking about an 18-year-old kid. He's going to be influenced by, you know, those types of things. And, you know, people just have to understand that's the way it is. And, you know, sometimes, too, they can't understand why. Why is a kid – he grows up in the state of Alabama, and he says he's an Alabama fan. I'm not saying Ruggs, but he says he's an Alabama fan. Well, these kids necessarily might have followed, said, well, they took allegiance to Alabama, but they're not fans like these people on the internet.
Right.
I mean,
right.
You know, I mean, they don't understand fandom like these people on the internet. They're not obsessed, which is great, but you know, they don't look at it from the same perspective.
Yeah, well, when your toilet seat has a big red A on the gives it away. One more player, and we could go through the entire list, but we only have 2 hours here. That kind of is a question mark, and that has to do with a young man who apparently is going to grayshirt at Alabama. Parks, I believe, is his name.
Yep.
There's conflicting stories out there about him and what he may or may not do, because I guess he hasn't signed, right? He can't sign until later on. So, but the backstory behind him, that he apparently had an offer from Auburn and then it got taken away. What all have you heard from that?
You know, that's the part I don't know for sure about the Auburn thing. Here's the way I think it's all unfolded somewhat. Yeah, I'll try to piece it together. You know, Jerez Parks is from Sebastian, Florida. He's a linebacker / defensive end. I think he'll ultimately grow into a defensive end. He's a really outstanding player. He's one of the top 100 players in America. He's a 4.0 student. He's going to major in pre-med. He's got a lot of things going for him. He had a really nice video. Where'd they do it? From the Eiffel Tower or somewhere?
I don't know.
Yeah, it's amazing. And he's very bright and all of those things, gifted athlete. And, you know, I think what happened with him was Alabama, Florida, Florida State were probably his top three schools. North Carolina was in there a little bit. Auburn was in there a little bit. And what happened was, Alabama, Florida, Florida State, as he waited and got down to the end, you know, they had run out of spots. And, you know, they told him, hey, listen, you know, Florida told him, Florida State told him, Alabama told him, we just don't have a spot. You know, we got to the end, we filled up, and, you know, we don't know what direction we're going to go. And then I think he became a little bit, you know, I think he was leaning towards Alabama, certainly. And then Auburn was there. If I understand it correctly, when he went to make his announcement, and this is, again, I'm not trying to be disrespectful. He wasn't planning on going to Auburn. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, excuse me. I think he was making a decision that he felt like he wasn't ready to make, is the way I took it. So he decided to delay, got emotional about it, and which is understandable, felt really sorry for him because he was going to settle for something that he – when I say settle, again, I'm not – to the Auburn listeners, I'm not trying to – it's just he wasn't going
right.
there. He wasn't planning
He didn't
want
to go to Auburn is what you're saying, yeah.
Yeah, right, right. So anyway, long story short, he decided to delay. Nick Saban said, hey, we want this guy. Told him. he called, however they got in contact, and maybe he threw his coach, Parks gets on the phone with Coach Saban, and he says, we want you badly. We'd love to have you. But you waited till now, and you know, we're full. But if you'll take a, accept a gray shirt, which means you won't enroll until January of 2018, you can be a part of that class. Just sit out in the fall. Or if something happens, you accept the gray shirt, and something happens that one of our signees does not get eligible, or for some other reason doesn't make it into school, then you will fill their spot. You've got their spot. And he agreed to do that. So that's amazing that a guy that is a top 100 player in America that would agree to do something like that. I never remember that happening.
No.
And I may be wrong, but I just don't ever recall it.
And is there a chance that any of these guys may not make it grade-wise? Or?
Yeah, there is. I mean, there's probably a couple, two or three, maybe – kind of borderline academically that could go either way. I think they feel like they're going to make it, but you never know. And I always use this, and Tim will remember this one. There was a guy one year that had a 3.7 GPA and had the test score. He's a very intelligent guy. When I say his name, you'll see, oh yeah. But and guess what? He had his test score, 3.7 GPA. He didn't qualify. Lorenzo Washington. And the reason he didn't qualify was he did not have an English core class.
He was a core class.
Wow.
Yeah.
Remember that, Tim?
Yeah. And
is this where I insert a Mississippi joke? No, I won't do that.
I think it was a Georgia joke.
Okay.
It wasn't his fault. I mean, no. It was, and I'm not, you know, whatever. It was the academic advisor over there just made a boo-boo. And he fell short. So he had this. Here's a guy, 3.7, had test score, extremely bright guy, everything you could ask for. And he had to sit out a year.
Wow. Very interesting. And we got all kinds of stories like that. And of course, you've got some stories on your website, including one written by Tim Gale concerning Henry Ruggs.
Great story on Ruggs.
And plus, you've got an interview there. And one real quick question before we let you go, and I'm gonna put you on the spot here. Out of everybody who is on this list that signed, who do you see maybe is making the earliest impact?
Well, you know, I got asked that question yesterday, and the thing I always think about is the early enrollees always have an advantage, in my opinion.
Yeah, absolutely.
If you look at what happened last year, Jalen Hurts was an early enrollee. Miller Forrestall was an early enrollee. Jonah Williams was an early enrollee. I may be forgetting somebody, you know, else that contributed last year as a true freshman. But most of the guys, and I'll tell you the one exception to that was not an early enrollee a couple of years ago, was Minkah Fitzpatrick. Mm-hmm. And he just came in and right off the bat was a stud. But it's more likely that it's going to be a guy guys who are early enrollees because they have an opportunity. They get in the program. They go through spring practice. Look at Cam Robinson, how much it paid off for him a few years ago. Started at left tackle from day one. So with all that said, I would look at Alex Leatherwood on the offensive line. I think he's going to have a great opportunity, whether it's at guard, tackle, whatever, however they end up positioning him. I think he'll have an opportunity.
Wherever he wants to play.
Excuse me?
Wherever he wants to play.
Yes, he looks NFL ready physically. I mean, I was blown away when he was here for the bowl practices. Also, I would say Jerry Jeudy at wide receiver could be a factor because he's an early enrollee. Now, Terrell Shavers is an early enrollee, too, at receiver. He's probably not as polished right now, but he's 6'6". There's no telling how his body could transform at 200 pounds and what he could eventually become. Great athlete. So those guys, Najee Harris, obviously he's an early enrollee now. Now Brian Robinson, I've been told, will enter school here in a week or so and go through spring practice, running back from Hillcrest, as will Mac Jones, quarterback from Bowles High School. The safeties, Daniel Wright and Xavier McKinney, are supposed to enroll in school here real quickly and be able to go through spring practice. So those guys could certainly maybe be factors in terms of depth or whatever. Tua, of course, Tua, everybody wants to talk about him at quarterback. I think he, you know, may push Hurts a little bit. I'm not saying he's starting or anything, but, you know, I think he could certainly – well, look at their quarterback situation.
Yeah.
They've got nobody. I mean, behind Hurts.
He just walks on campus, you know? And he's the backup, right? That's because everybody else is going.
I mean, he and Mac Jones, you know, both those guys. But so that's, you know, as I look at it, you know, Dylan Moses is here. They need depth at inside linebacker.
It may be quicker to go down the list of who's not there. The majority are going to be there.
Now, of the guys that aren't here, a couple of guys, Chris Allen at outside linebacker, I think he's going to be a really special player. He may come in ready to help, you know, because they're losing Anderson, they're losing Williams. They need some people out there, some depth anyway. And I'll tell you the guy that I think is the one to mark down on this class. Mark down the name Kedrick James out of Waco, Texas. Nobody talking about this guy. He is an elite talent, if you ask me. Go watch his film on Huddle. Make sure you watch his senior highlights. He's about 6'5 and about 255, 260, and he's playing tight end. And he's running away from DBs after he catches the ball. But here's the deal. He's so athletic, so versatile. You look at his body and you say, this guy can get bigger, too. He's going to get bigger. So not only could he be a great offensive tackle, but as athletic as he is and the way he moves with that size, this guy now suddenly you look at him and you say, could he be an impact defensive lineman?
Yeah. Wow.
Which you can't find guys like that.
Yeah.
I mean, they're hard to find. So when we're sitting here talking about, okay, Alabama got Fedarian Mathis, they got Isaiah Bugs, they got LeBryan Ray, those are three really tremendous defensive linemen. You know, they really needed another one. You know, hey, could it be Kedrick James ends up as a defensive lineman? I mean, I don't know that he will, but it's something to think about.
Ronnie, we could talk all day, but we're out of time. And I tell you what, a lot of good information there, a lot of good information on Tider Insider. How do we become a part?
Yeah, just TiderInsider.com. It's only $48 a year. You can find the membership link there. You can get instant access with your credit card. If you want to just go and lurk, go on there. There's video there. There's our National Signing Day TV show and all that stuff. But you're really missing out on the premium stuff if you don't join, and also the forums where it's a constant flow of stuff. I'll call it stuff.
We know what the other word you could use, and we'll stay away from that too. Rodney, great work
really
this week.
Not. It's really, it's really,
I know it. I know. It's fun stuff. It's really fun stuff.
Fun. It is.
We have a good time reading it. Great work this week, and we can't wait to talk to you again here real soon.
All right. Hey, Graham and Tim, I appreciate you guys. Take care.
All right. Rodney Orr, thank you. Tider Insider. I didn't mean it the way it came out. That's not how I meant that. But sometimes you can hear some things that don't make a whole lot of sense. I'll just leave it that way. All right, quick break. We'll be back.